nettles. That may not be a word that you're familiar with. N-E-T-T-L-E-S, nettles. It's something that all of us are plagued by. It's something all of us that wish would go away. We know they won't go away, but we wish they would. We usually ignore these until almost we are forced to do something about them. But it was an object mentioned by Solomon, and it came about as a result of a trip that he took. And it seems that he was going on a tour, or I guess maybe a vacation, or just a journey through the countryside, somewhere in the land of Israel. And he came upon a small estate of a farmer, and he looked over the farmer's property. It consisted of a piece of plowed ground, and a vineyard, and a house, and a fence made of stones. And as he observed this farm, he reached the conclusion that the owner of this farm was a lazy man. So how did he reach that conclusion? Well, it's not too difficult to figure if a lazy person is living at a place or not. Just look at the surroundings of the home. And that's what Solomon did, and he makes these comments in Proverbs 24:30-34. I went by the field of a lazy man, he calls him slothful, and by the vineyard of the man who seemed to be out of his mind, void of understanding. He just didn't understand how things worked. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. Nettles had covered the face of the ground, and the stone wall had been broken down. Then I considered all that I saw, and I looked at, and I received instructions. Here's what he said. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Today I want to reuse or redefine the word nettles with a word that you're more familiar with, and that is weeds. All of us are familiar with that. Now, Solomon focuses all of his attention, supposedly, on the person who owned this farm. And if a person chooses this text to preach a sermon on, normally it's a sermon about do not be slothful or do not be lazy. And going on, a lazy man spends his life in bed with an ailment that can be cured. You see, how can you cure him? Work is the way to cure the problems of the ailment of a lazy man. That's how to get him going again. A lazy man uses what energy he does have doing what? Complaining. The work is too hard, or the work is too boring, or the weather's too hot, or the weather's too cold, or the ground is too wet, or the ground is too dry. And so he's always got a reason, a complaint, why he can't get out there and go to work. A lazy person is, in a sense, his mind is controlled by his moods, and he never is in the mood to do any work. He's a man who wastes his potential. He can do something. It's not difficult to pull up weeds. It doesn't take a genius to do this. It does take some elbow grease, and it does take some sweat, and it does take some time and some labor, but it's not a difficult task to accomplish, but he's a man who wastes his potential. He had a good farm. He could have had a good farm. He didn't have much at all the way it was. Also, he's a man who really, in a sense, cheats himself out of the benefits of labor. Where is his fruit? Where is his food? You see, he has no benefits that he could have if he labored. Also, he's a man who has the philosophy or the idea that wishes are granted by more wishes. Now, that's kind of a silly idea, but guess how many people accept this as fact in their life? Wishes are granted by more wishes. You know that's not true. You can look at your nut grass out there in your flower bed and you say, oh, I wish that stuff would go away. Now, you mean you're going to wish tomorrow again and it's going to go away? You know it's not going to work. Why do we keep wishing and then wishing our wishes would come true? They're not going to happen like that. This man is also undoubtedly ruled by pessimism. That is, he has reason in his mind, well, if I did go to work and plow the ground and plant the seed and get rid of the weeds, well, it wouldn't rain. And if it did rain, it'd rain too much. And if the crop came up, animals would eat it, or disease would destroy it, or the bugs would eat it, and there would be too much rain and not enough rain, too much cold and not enough. In other words, all my labor would go to vain, so why even bother? It's not going to do any good, even if I do work. So the man has a real pessimistic idea about what's going to be accomplished if he tries to get some work done. It won't produce any benefits, so he's just as well off to do nothing. Now, this is the way a lazy man thinks. But now, I'm not talking about a lazy man this morning because a person is not an object. I won't talk about an object. And I don't want to dwell on laziness because that's not my sermon this morning. I said about all I'm going to say about that. I want us to take another look at what Solomon saw. I want us to take another look at that form. Because there is something there that I don't think a lot of us noticed as we read the story. There was something in that story that was very energetic, that was very aggressive, that was very hardworking, almost night and day. You say, what was that? It's the weeds. It's the weed. Have you ever seen a lazy weed? I tell you, you turn your back on them a couple of days and they're back. I mean, there's no such thing as a lazy weed. I've got a tree in my yard. I don't think it's grown an inch in 6 years. It's a lazy tree, you know. But the grass and the weeds, I'll tell you, they almost catch up with the tree overnight. It's amazing how fast weeds can grow. And you that have weeds in your yard, you know they grow 10 times faster than your grass does. You can look out there, you can see them popping up all over. Have you ever seen a lazy weed? Nah. They are full of get up and go. I mean, they got Vigoro Plus and whatever it takes to grow, they got it. Now, following the fall of man, God told Adam of one of the judgments that he was going to have to face as a result of his sin. Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 18. I'm going to tell you why weeds are so energetic. And unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the forbidden tree, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Now notice, cursed is the ground because of what you've done. Cursed is the ground for your sake because of what you've done. And in sorrow, notice, you will eat of it all the days of your life. What's going to be the sorrow? Thorns and thistles, and I'm going to add nettles, it'll bring forth, and I'm going to add some more words now, as a continual nuisance to you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. Now, that becomes one of the laws that I know God didn't intend to place upon this earth when he originally placed Adam and Eve on it. This is the result of the fall. We wouldn't have weeds and thorns and these things had we not had the fall. But now we talk about the laws of nature. Well, I'm telling you about another law that God put into effect when Adam and Eve fell. And that is we're going to have weeds or nettles and thorns to deal with continually as we live on this earth. And I'm going to tell you what the law is. Now, it's not in Scripture, but I'm going to tell you what the law is. Here it is. You let a thing alone, and it will deteriorate. I want to say it one more time so you get it. This is the law now. You let a thing alone, and it will deteriorate. You know this to be a fact. You leave a car alone, pretty soon it won't run, and it'll rust. You just leave it alone. Just let it sit out there in the yard and don't touch it. You just watch it. It will pretty soon turn to rust and then to dust, and you won't have anything. Just look. You leave your teeth alone. Just leave them alone, and they'll fall out. You just leave your house alone. Don't touch it, and it will fall down around you. You let anything alone, and it's going to deteriorate. That is the law that I think the fall put into existence. A.W. Tozer refers to this as the hunger of the wilderness. And that's true. The bias of nature is towards placing everything in a wilderness state. If nature had its way, folks, there would be nothing out there growing but thistles and thorns and weeds. Nature itself prefers the wild state. Do you know that? You have to plant that St. Augustine grass. You have to care for it. You have to fertilize it. But those weeds, I tell you, if you leave nature to itself, we would just be one mass wilderness state. That's the way it would be. We cannot escape this law. If you buy a field, it's already full of weeds. See? You can clear it, but if you leave it alone, and I don't mean very long, and you come back, it's going to be full of weeds again. Now, the law of the weed is a nightmare to a person who is prone to be lazy, because the weeds are going to work faster than he is. I guarantee you, almost works faster than an energetic person can. Now, what is true of the fallen world and nature is also true of man's own soul. And that's what I want to talk about. The soul of man is like a field, or like a garden, and it's full of weeds. We call it the sinful nature. We call it the flesh. Call it whatever you want to call it. But the soul is a garden, and it's full of weeds. I mean, it's full of things that deteriorate and destroy. It's full. It's overrun by lust, and it's overrun by moods that are bad. And God comes along, and in salvation, you know what He does? He takes the weeds. He takes the weeds. We call it new birth. He takes the weeds out of a person's life at that moment. He cleans the field up. All right? And then He plants His seed of the Word in our life. And then He says to our new born again spirit, I place you in this new garden, and I expect you to keep the weeds out, keep the thorns out, keep the nettles out, and to grow fruit. Grow fruit and get rid of the weeds. Grow fruit. Now, folks, which grows faster, weeds or fruit? You know as well as I do which one does. Weeds grow a lot. You're going to spend a lot more time, I'm afraid, on getting rid of weeds than you are producing fruit. Now, if you don't get rid of the weeds, you're not going to produce any fruit, you see. And if you're prone to be at all spiritually lazy, you're going to have a real problem with this law in your soul. The weeds are going to take over and control your life. And we call this a backslider. I'm just explaining the situation to you. Now, I don't think there's any struggle more difficult, any weed more difficult to remove than that of your soul. There is such a hunger in there of the flesh for these weeds to grow. I mean, they pop up, you know, and they pop up almost every other minute. These thoughts pop into your mind, and you're like, I got to pull that weed up. Boy, you better pull it up right then. You know, you're going to have 10 of them in there. You know, then 20, and then 30. Before you know it, you've got a whole field of this stuff. But no struggle's more difficult for the Christian than continually having to get the weeds out of his own spiritual garden. No work is so time-consuming as keeping our life free of encroaching weeds. Always they're trying to reach their fingers out and come back in the land that we have cleared out. You just turn around almost, and resentment is back. You turn around and pride is back. You turn around and just wait a few days, hours, many minutes, and that same lust that you plucked up a minute ago is on it back again. You turn around and greed is back. I mean, it's amazing how quickly these weeds can grow back into our clear field, our cleared life. Weeds grow over a Bible that's left unattended. We call them cobwebs, not weeds. Weeds block the way to our prayer closet. It's only unattended for, I mean, a short time. It's amazing how many weeds we have to climb over to get back to our prayer closet. And they get taller and higher and we get more prone to neglect it, and it's more difficult to get prayer again because we've got so many weeds now that we've got to deal with. Now, best bear in mind, weeds will not rest until they have won back the ground that they once lost. Now, that's the principle, folks, under which weeds operate. That's why they have so much energy. There is something in them that says, we are going to get back the ground that we lost. And they will not give up. The day you die, they will not give up. Now, the neglected heart will soon become a heart that is overrun by worldly thoughts. You neglect your heart, and worldly thoughts will flood it. A neglected soul will soon become a soul that's overrun with regrets and disgrace. You just neglected, a little bit. A neglected life will soon be a moral chaos. A neglected mind will soon be filled with evil thoughts that harass you continually, shock you, embarrass you, and shame you. You just neglect your heart and your soul and your life and your mind, and you know it's all going to become worse for you. I want to make a few observations about weeds that we can apply spiritually. For weeds represent or symbolize sins that are determined to enter and re-enter and re-enter again into our life as they are put out. I want you to be aware of six things about weeds. Number one, they always move in the direction of destruction. They'll destroy your character. They'll destroy your faith. They'll destroy your walk with God. They'll destroy your fruitfulness. They'll destroy your testimony. Folks, weeds move in the direction of destruction. Now, please understand this. Secondly, weeds always make ugly what was once beautiful. Number three, weeds always make useless what was productive. So many Christians, well, I used to do this for the Lord. I used to be this in the church. Yeah, used to. You see, weeds make useless that which was once productive. And the weeds are sins that we allow back in our life to grow and to flourish and we don't get rid of. Fourthly, weeds always cheapen what was of value. When weeds come in, folks, the property value goes down. Just let your yard grow up in weeds, and I tell you, it goes down in value real quick. Now, you let your life, let your soul begin to grow weeds, and your value in the eyes of everybody, including God, your value goes down. Your value goes down. Number five, they always make bad what was good. And number six, they always make unsafe what was safe. Who wants to run around in a field of nettles and briars and thorns and poisonous weeds? And you see, who wants to be around that kind of dangerous situation? That's what you see allowing sins in your life. What was once safe becomes unsafe when this law begins to operate in our life. Neglect your soul, and there won't be any flowers. There won't be any blooming for Jesus where you are. There won't be very little fruit. What you're going to grow a crop of is nothing but thorns and thistles, because you don't have to do anything, folks, at all to grow that. It'll grow itself. You've got to do something to grow fruit. You have to do something to grow flowers, to make your life beautiful. You don't have to do anything to grow weeds. Sins will settle in on your heart and your mind and your soul without you turning your fist or your hand to do any. You don't have to have any effort at all. They will grow without your help. And you can't wish them away, and therefore, you see, they're going to spread. The longer you wait, the more difficult it's going to be to remove them, because there's going to be more of them. They're going to have more root system. And so if you're prone to be spiritually lazy, brother, I tell you, weeds are going to eat you alive. Talking spiritually, man. I think a lot of folks who are not lazy naturally are very hard workers. But when it comes to spiritually taking care of their form, that is their spirit, then they become spiritually lazy. And so there's two kinds of folks in this world. Those who are not lazy naturally but become spiritually lazy. and they won't deal with the sin weeds. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. You say, well, how am I going to get rid of these weeds? What's going to be my hoe? Well, what's going to be my weed eater? Well, you say, I'll use prayer. Now, prayer is not going to get rid of the weeds. Prayer is the same old principle. I'm going to get rid of the weeds by wishing somebody else would do what I need to do. I'm going to wish that God would take the hoe and cut down the weeds. Now, folks, prayer is great, but prayer is not going to get the weeds out of the garden. It's not going to work. God's not going to do it. He's not going to de-weed your field. All right? Now, what we need to do is take the Word of God, that's our hoe, and take it in our hand and use it. Not just take it, but use it. And by this, I simply mean, whenever a weed appears, you identify it by the word, that's a weed. That thought, that act, that's a weed. Now, what's the word say about it? It must go. Crucify that weed. All right. The word says, there shall not be any lying. That's a lie. So I'll pluck that booger up, and I just throw them away. No, that stuff's going to be allowed to grow in my field. That lie will not be allowed to grow. And you say, I've done two things. I've taken the word, what does the word say? Thou shalt not lie. And I've also taken the word, advice, and says, now the word says, and I've done what the word says. I've done two things. I've discovered what the word says about what is a weed, and what the word says to do about the weed. So I've done them both. I've learned, and I've done both those things. And so whatever the word says that would invite destruction, get rid of it. That would invite ugliness or pain or misery or danger or chaos or ruin in my spiritual life. I must take action, not wish. I must take action. And so therefore, I must apply the word in my life. I must know it. It's my hoe. It's the one that identifies the weed. And it's the one I must use to get rid of the weed. The Bible says, Jesus said, by my word, I cleanse you. I keep you free of sin through the word. Now, that's what we have to have. Again, let me remind you that weeds grow a lot faster than fruit. They really do. And if you allow the weeds, they're going to sap the strength that you have to produce fruit. You let it turn to weeds, and it's going to be hard for you to pray. I'll tell you that. It's going to be hard for you to go to church. If you go to listen, to enjoy it, to worship, I mean, if you haven't dealt with the weeds, then you're not going to be able to do the other things we call fruit. You're not going to be able to enjoy the Lord. You're not going to be able to definitely abstain from evil. You're not going to be able to resist the devil, abstain from all kinds of temptation. You're not going to have any victory in your life until you deal with the weeds that are constantly cropping up. And every time you let a weed grow and gain strength, then that weakens you spiritually in some aspect or area of your life. That is, it'll choke out your spiritual enthusiasm. It'll choke out your spiritual effort. It'll choke out your spiritual zeal. It'll sap your strength. If you allow the weeds to grow, you're going to get colder and colder in the Christian life. And your Christian life will become in a chaotic state. And soon, chances are, there won't be any prayer. And there won't be any church. And there won't be any service of the Lord. And there won't be any Bible study. And there won't be any thought of God. And there won't be any resistance to the world's ways. Because the weeds have controlled now and dominated your life. And you let it alone, and you'll get in a worse and a worse shape. The law of nature, the law of the nettles, the law of the weeds, you leave it alone, and things are only going to get worse. And I don't really feel like I have to convince you of this. Most of us know this is a fact. Just look outside your door and look at your weeds and it convinces you this is the law that's operating in our lives. And we cannot do anything about it but deal with it. And the sooner you pull up a weed, the better off you are. One weed is a lot easier to deal with than 35 weeds in the garden. And one attracts another, and they multiply. So we must deal with this law under which we came into through the fall of Adam and Eve. We got to live with it. We have to deal with it. And so therefore, folks, get the weeds out of the garden. Otherwise, there'll be no fruit for the Lord.